Good morning. Is it hot enough for you? Randy loves this hot weather, don't you, Randy? This TV, you need a cold front, don't you? We need some rain is what we need. You might be wondering why I'm wearing a t-shirt, and that's called that I forgot my church outfit today. I've learned that when it's this hot and you have a two-year-old, you don't wear your preaching clothes to church first thing in the morning. And so normally I wear a t-shirt, and then I bring the oven and I change into it at roughly around 10:30. And we got here almost here, and I forgot it. So I called Ben and said, you know, could you bring me one of your shirts? And so he brought me one of his shirts. But then Tanya talked me into just wearing the t-shirt. And then I looked at Ben's shirt, and it's from the Sears store, the men's store at Sears. So that means it's probably older than I am. So I was just like, let's. I left it in the tech booth, and so I wore the t-shirt today. David gave me his approval. He likes the salmon color on me, I guess. So, and we kind of match. Go sit down. So I am only preaching this week and next week before we go on our next vacation, and so I didn't really know where to go, and God kept leading me back to Psalm 23. So I made a sermon, made it on Wednesday since the 4th of July was on Thursday, and then I decided I better run through it. I didn't run through it on Wednesday, so I figured I better run through it on Friday. So while Elijah was watching Bluey, I was preaching, and it was only a 20-minute message, and I did not want to give you that gift today of only a 20-minute message. So I rewrote it, and it's a little bit longer this time. I actually took something from one of my previous sermons. Anytime a sermon really communicates something to our church, or there's a really good response, I normally put like a couple stars in my notes and just say, hey, there's some good truth in here that connected with our church the last time that I taught this. And so this is, I went back and pulled, it wasn't even on Psalm 23, but it's the same sort of concept. So I went and pulled that and added it to this sermon. And so we are going to be covering Psalm 23 as the slide shows over the next, this week and next week. So we're going to cover the first half this week, and we'll cover the second half next week. And that aligns about perfectly with the split that we see in Psalm 23. This is probably, as I said in the prayer, one of the most popular chapters in all the Bible. I read it often at funerals as a way of comforting the family, because these first three verses are very comforting. But this is one of those chapters that a lot of people can quote, especially if they grew up in church as a child. I think its popularity is due to its richness of truth. This is one psalm that is packed full of good theology. And not only is it good theology, but it is relatable to us. And if we really read it and understand it, it does provide comfort. So over the next couple of weeks, I want to dive deep into this psalm so that we know what it really means and we know the truth that comes from it. The psalm was written by King David, probably while he was king, maybe towards the end of his life. But he's clearly looking back over his life and looking back at how God has taken care of him. So we're going to start this week by covering verses 1 through 3. So let's read it. We're going to read it in the New King James Version, because a lot of people, this is the version we know it in. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The first thing that David establishes here is our relationship with God. He basically is comparing us to dependent sheep, and God is our shepherd. Let's first cover this dependent sheep part. Many people think that sheep are dumb, but they actually aren't. On a scale of intelligent animals, they are not that low. This is, I found a few different things here. You already saw my joke, didn't you? So you got humans, obviously, higher IQs, chimps, dolphins, crows are actually pretty smart, elephants, dogs, gorilla, pig, and just below pig or cattle would be sheep. Octopus are pretty smart, squirrels, believe it or not, that's crazy as they act, rats, and then cats are at the very bottom of that scale. Amen for somebody? Amen. Actually, cats are right below dogs. But I thought we need to put them way down here because my cat is not very smart. I can tell you that. And I have a dog that's not very smart. So Max is actually probably somewhere down here too. Zoe's maybe a little bit higher, but Max, he's somewhere down below. So sheep, they are actually not as dumb as we think they are, but what they are is they are dependent. Sheep, number one, they have no sense of direction. Sheep get lost very easily. They are prone to wander off, and they need someone to lead them. I shared this story before, but in eastern Turkey, about 1,500 sheep fell off a cliff while their shepherds were eating breakfast. 1,100 sheep lived and 400 died. Those 1,100 was thankful that the first 400 failed to lighten the blow on the bottom of the cliff. I guess that makes sense to you, right? They landed on fluffy sheep. Humans, though, when we think about David comparing us to sheep, humans, we have no sense of direction either without God. And I'm not talking about like navigating where you're going. I learned very quickly on this beach trip, my mom has no sense of direction. She's like, now we go this way and our room's that way. But humans have no sense of direction when it comes to navigating the spiritual realities of this world. We're walking in darkness, and we need God, who is our light, to light the way to give us some sense of which direction we need to go in. In fact, Isaiah compares us to sheep in Isaiah 53:6. He says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. Everyone follows someone. We might follow ourselves and our own heart, and therefore a lot of our life we do exactly that. Nowadays, it's becoming easier and easier to follow someone else because with technology, you're always exposed to what they're saying, what they're teaching, which is exactly why cults are formed. People follow politicians. People follow false teachers. There's a sense that we have this herd mentality that when everybody else is doing it, we feel like we need to follow. And that's so much like sheep. Because what happened to those sheep that fell off the cliff? The first one went off the cliff first, and then the rest of them followed. So we are like sheep in that we have no sense of spiritual direction. Second is sheep have no defense system. Sheep cannot fight off a predator. If a wolf comes after them, they're in trouble. They basically can run, and even that, they're not going to run very fast, fast enough for a wolf to catch them. When it comes to spiritual things, we're powerless. Outside of God working in us, we have no weapons except for the weapons that God has given us. So we are dependent on God. Sheep are also emotional and social beings. Sheep have emotions and the ability to feel. And so thankfully they're not here for me to say that they're not very smart. Sheep are social beings in terms of that they need the herd. They're not made to live by themselves. Sheep also have the intelligence to recognize their shepherd's voice. And we'll come back to that towards the end. We're emotional beings as well, and we're social beings. One of the things the pandemic has shown us is that when they locked us all down and had us all stay at our houses, that hurt people's mental health greatly because we are social beings. We're meant to be with other people. We are meant to communicate with other people. And could you imagine how bad it would have been if we did not have technology and we're all living in our separate little houses, not talking to one another? I'm thankful that we, as a church, communicated over Zoom. We connected with one another. We talked with one another. We, like sheep, are social beings, and we also have the ability very early to know and recognize the voices of those that love us, even from the womb. In the womb, most of the time babies can recognize the voices of their mom and dads. So sheep, because they are dependent animals, they need a shepherd. And the truth is, without a shepherd, we would wander off the cliff as well. And so it's very appropriate that King David starts this psalm by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. David knew a lot about shepherding because he was a shepherd. He had sheep under his care. And so when he's saying this, there's a lot of weight behind these words. He understands everything that encompasses the Lord being his shepherd. And this also aligns with Scripture. And other scriptures throughout the Bible, God is compared to a shepherd. And Jesus went as far as to say in John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. These are the two passages that we're going to be working with today, Psalm 23 and John 10. Because I think as Jesus is teaching in John 10, I think that he is thinking about Psalm 23 and his role as our shepherd. So let's talk about what the shepherd does for us, what Jesus, what God as our good shepherd does. The first thing is the good shepherd provides. David said this in Psalm 23:2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. When I read it this time, you know, I've always said this version of it when I quote Psalm 23, and this is the one that most of us have probably read it and remembered. But it's interesting that David says here that he makes me lie down in green pastures. Has God ever forced you to rest? He has me. I get sick almost every January. Because at the end of January, at the end of December, it's the end of basically a sprint in the church world. Starting basically in August, we have summer giveaway. September is a little bit slower, but you start having more people coming. And so the church is normally growing a little bit as everybody's going back to school. And then October, you have trunk and treat. November, you have Thanksgiving. And then, of course, in December, you got Christmas. So it's like a sprint there in those last few months. And I about every January get sick. And unfortunately, over the last few years, it's been COVID that I've had in January. There was one January, I think I missed the whole month from church because I was sick every Sunday. Strep with a couple weeks or with a week, and then COVID with other weeks, and I think we might have had a snow in there too. God has forced me to rest, and I'm sure he's forced you to rest in some way or another as well. Obviously, at some point in David's life, God has forced him to rest, and yet David seems grateful for it. Not only does God make him rest, but he has him rest in where? Green pastures. Now, if we are sheep and we are resting in green pastures, that sounds pretty good to me. It communicates the comfort that God provides us so that he allows us to rest. So what I imagine is beautiful scenery with everything we need right there and time for David just to rest. And if we go with comparing ourselves to sheep, what do sheep eat? Grass. So this is like a bed and breakfast. This is like God laying you down and feeding you at the same time. You don't even have to get up to get your food. That is rest right there. That's the life. There's a book written about Psalm 23, and it's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, and it's written by Philip Keller. And he says this. He writes that sheep do not lay down easily and will not unless four conditions are met. Because they are timid, they will not lie down if they are afraid. Because they are social animals, they will not lie down if there is friction among the sheep. If flies or parasites trouble them, they will not lie down. And if they are anxious about food or if they are hungry, they will not lie down. Rest comes because the shepherd has dealt with fear, friction, flies, and famine. And when he takes care of those things, that's when true rest happens. Can you rest if any of those are bothering you? Can you rest if you're afraid? Can you rest if there's friction with you and someone else? Can you rest if flies are bothering you? And I'm not talking about literal flies. I'm talking about anything that irritates you. I can't rest with anything that irritates me, like the fireworks the last 3 nights. We had 3 July 4th. I didn't know that. Can we rest if we are hungry? No. It's hard to truly rest when you are dealing with those things. And so the shepherd, our shepherd, God, has a way of dealing with those things so that we can truly rest. next part of that verse was, he leads me beside the still waters. And so, if you know anything about Israel, it's in the Middle East, like a desert. Is there much water for there to be found in that area? No. And yet, the shepherd leads them to still waters. And for sheep, the water had to be still or they would be scared of it. If it's a rushing river, if it's something that's going very quickly, they're not going to want to get around it. So the shepherd has to find a very specific watering hole, and yet the shepherd finds it and leads his sheep to it. Now, I'm going to use the example of actual water, but then we can kind of apply this to just whatever we need. God does the same thing for us. We know water is the most crucial thing we take into our body. Without food, we can survive 3 weeks. Without water, though, you can only survive 3 to 5 days. So what David is communicating here is that God provides us with what we really need. And does Jesus not say the same thing? Jesus tells us not to worry about what we will eat or drink, because God will provide those things for us. God is our shepherd. He's going to take care of us. So he's going to lead us to rest in the green pastures where all the food is. And he's going to lead us to the still waters so that we can have what we actually need. And what David is really communicating here is this: how much our shepherd cares for us. That's really what these first three verses are about. In John 10:9, Jesus is also talking about being the good shepherd. And he talks about the sheep here. He says, they will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. They will find plentiful pastures with everything we need and even more. Let's talk about the things that God's provided. The first thing that God has provided that I want to mention is he's provided the Word of God. I love in our Rooted study that they emphasize the importance of God giving us his written Word so that we can read it and understand it. This is something concrete. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is this word that leads to life. It's this word that helps us to follow him. The second thing God has provided for us is our material needs. Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And I already mentioned the other verse where Jesus tells us not to worry about what we will eat or drink, because God will provide it for us. That's a truth that we can take comfort in. I don't know where you stand on the end times. I don't know if you think we're going to be gone before the tribulation period starts, but when we did our study a few years ago on the book of Revelation and on the end times, one of the things I mentioned was this exact truth here. If we're still here, let's say that the rapture doesn't happen till the end. No one really knows. But let's say the rapture doesn't happen to the end and the church stays here, and the Antichrist is going to cut us off from being able to get food. I told them, and I believe it without a shadow of a doubt, I think we're going to be waking up with like manna on our front steps. I think God is going to provide us, and we're going to be in amazement of who God is and what he has done for us. The third thing is our spiritual needs. 2 Peter 1:3, Peter says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. We just talked about how we have no power when it comes to the spiritual things, but God has given us his divine power. He has worked in us so that we can live a godly life, so that we can do the things he has called us to do. So we have a shepherd who provides these things. And if you go with the analogy of a shepherd and sheep, now a shepherd can lead the sheep to the grass and to the water. Can the shepherd make the sheep partake of what he has provided? No. He cannot force that sheep to eat the grass or to drink the water. The sheep have to make the decision to partake of what he provides, and we got to do the same thing. We got to partake. We got to bring in what he has provided. He doesn't do the eating for us. We have to get in the Word of God. We have to spend time with him. We've got to communicate with him. We got to be with him so that we can fully take in everything that he's providing for us. And I think King David has, because going back to verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And what's that next point, next part? I shall not want. One commentary I read, and I love the way it stated it, said that King David was making both a declaration and a decision. The declaration was that God provides him with everything he needs, so he doesn't need to want anything more. The decision he was making was that he was not going to want anything more than what God has given. So he's saying, I'm not living in want because God has provided me with everything I need. Therefore, I'm going to make the decision to not want anything more. Goes back to our last series that I did. It's really a reminder for us to be grateful for where God has us in our life. And we got to make that decision every day. As our shepherd, God does provide us with what we need. So if we don't have it, maybe we don't need it. Jesus also said he is the good shepherd, which goes to his character, which goes to who he is. And so if he is the good shepherd, and I'm telling you he is, he's a good shepherd, then we have to trust in his knowledge that if we don't have it, we probably don't need it. That's hard, especially when you want more. That's hard when you think you deserve more. That's hard when you think that you're missing something in your life. But this goes back to the contentment we talked about in our last series. We have to be content where we're at. And I think that's what David is getting to here. There have been many of times in my life where I wanted something so bad that I would get mad at God for not giving it to me. But I've learned that sometimes God doesn't give us what we want until we want him more than we want anything else. So God doesn't give us what we want until we want him above all else. And this is for our good. Let's go back to the shepherding example. Let's say there's one single sheep that wants greener pastures. We use that term about searching for greener pastures, and you never know until you get on the other side of the fence if it's really going to be greener or not. But let's say a single sheep wants greener pastures, and they wander off to go find those greener pastures outside of the leadership of the shepherd. How in danger is that sheep of getting eaten by wolves, of getting lost, of walking off of a cliff, of not knowing where the nearest water hole is? They're in trouble. Same thing happens with us when we wander away from the guidance of the shepherd. When we want something more than we want God. Going back to verse 3. So we covered verse 2 in full. We've covered verse 1 in full. So now we're in verse 3. David says, he restores my soul. So he just talked about being forced to rest in the green pastures. He just talked about God leading him by the still waters. He's made the declaration and decision in verse 1 that he's not going to live in want. And in verse 3, he's talking about what has happened as a result of all this. God has restored his soul. The whole purpose of all this that God provides us is to restore our soul, to give us what we need to keep going, to help us to live life to the full, to help us to be healthy, to help us to live the life that he has called us to live. It's very interesting that the word restore here is the same word that can be translated as repent. So literally what David is saying here is he repents our soul. Repent means to turn back. And so I think what David's communicating here is that as God provides this care for us, as the good shepherd provides for us and takes care of us, he repents our soul. He turns our soul back to where it should be. He brings our soul back to him to rest in his presence and in what he provides. And understanding that, we should take comfort in these verses. We should realize just how much God cares for us, and we should be grateful for all that he provides as our loving shepherd. It made me think of Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Sounds like a good shepherd, doesn't it? Sounds like a shepherd that's wanting to take care of his sheep. So the first thing the shepherd does is he provides. The next thing the shepherd does is the shepherd leads. David continues in Psalm 23:3. He says, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Literally, the paths of righteousness, it literally means right paths. And so God leads us down the right path. In other words, he's making the declaration that our shepherd isn't going to lead us astray. We can trust that if we follow him, we are headed in the right direction. And this is for his name's sake. In other words, it's for his glory. First of all, so that if we actually walk down this path, we'll live a life that glorifies him. But second of all, especially during this time, even today, we have false gods galore today. But back in that time, there was a bunch of false gods. And those people in Israel that would follow false gods. And there was really this, I would say, a concerted effort on God's part to make sure that his name, make sure that his power, make sure that his character could not be questioned by anybody else. And so if God said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's going to make sure the world knows that he is God. And so when it says that this is done for his name's sake, in other words, God's going to, I don't want to say protect his reputation, but God's going to stay true to his character, that he is good, that he's going to lead us to good things, that he is righteous, that he is going to take care of us. And so he is going to stay true to his character. And as we follow the right path that he has set before us, he's going to lead us into the abundant life that he has called for us to have. Does that mean that the enemies and the wolves are not going to come after you? No. You're still going to have tough times. You're going to go through some tough things, and we'll cover this in more detail next week and what we have to do when those tough things come. We have to stay with the shepherd. But ultimately, no matter how our story in this life ends, it ends for the good. I just did my grandma's funeral this past Monday, and that was the communication I gave to the church, is that even though it ended with suffering, and even though it ended with death, she's more alive now than she's ever been before. And that's the truth for every believer, every person that follows Jesus. You will have abundant life waiting for you at the end. What another comforting truth for us is that if we simply follow God's lead, he's going to lead us to good, right things. No matter what happens in our life, our job is simple: to follow the shepherd. John 10:3-4 says this: "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him," talking about the shepherd, "and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." There's key parts in there that we have to cover. So first, I want you to understand, we can be dependent on him. We are dependent people, just like sheep. We can be dependent on him because he's good. He cares for us. He calls us by name. He wants to lead us out. He's going to lead you where you need to go in order to have what you need, in order to live the righteous life that he has called you to live. And so the encouragement from these first few verses is simply to follow him. But this all goes back to the way David started this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, if you're not a believer here today, if you've not made God your shepherd, then none of what I've said applies to you. You've got to make him your shepherd. The good shepherd is your personal shepherd. You've got to follow him. You've got to follow his lead. You've got to allow him to speak into your life, and you've got to follow him out of the gate, which going back to John 10, we're not going to get into it, obviously, but the sheep pen that everybody's in, that he's calling them out of, I would say the sheep pen represents the world, and God calls us out from the world. The shepherd calls us out from the world, but we have to follow him. And so continue in John 10:14-15, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus covers a few things here. He says, number one, I know my sheep. He knows us personally. I think this is the last week of our gratitude series. We talked about how God has created each and every one of us. He knit us in our mother's womb, and he has a plan and a purpose for our life. He knows you better than you know yourself because he created you. And so he wants to be our personal shepherd. Not only that, but he wants to be our friend. John 15:14, he tells the disciples, you are my friends if you do what I command. 2 Corinthians 13:5 goes as far as to say that Jesus lives in us. This is the truth for those who follow him. Jesus is your friend, he lives in you, and he wants to be your personal shepherd that leads you around. So if Jesus knows us personally, if he is our caring friend, and if he's literally in us and knows all about us, we can trust the path that he is going to personally provide for us. So this is one thing I love about the shepherd. While he's your personal shepherd and he's my personal shepherd, he's also all of our shepherds if we follow him. Paul has a really good passage about the church being the body of Christ and how each part of the body does a different thing. We're all called to do different things. Some people's called to be the hands, some people's called to be the feet, some people's called to be the mouth, so on and so forth. But if my arm's not working in unison with the rest of my body, is it really accomplishing much? No. But if we're all working together, if we're all following our personal shepherd, he's also our collective shepherd, and he's going to work us around to do exactly what he has called us to do. So each of us has a path in our life, has a purpose in our life that's unique, but also the same. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance for us to do. So we are God's handiworks. Jesus Christ has prepared us to do good works. So we have to follow our shepherd in order to know what we are supposed to do with our life as his sheep that he has created. None of us, you know, especially in those early college years or high school years, a lot of talks about what are you supposed to do in life. And a lot of us don't know. I mean, here Russ is, like, 67, and he don't know. 56. I just went with a high number with the gray hair. There's a lot of talk there early in our college careers about what are we supposed to do. And I think all throughout our Christian life, we're wondering, what is God's purpose for us? Now, are we living in that purpose to some degree and level? Absolutely. I feel like I'm fulfilling God's purpose for me here at this church, yet I've wanted to fulfill his purpose every single day, and so what is he leading me to next? You're not going to know what God has created you to do until you follow the shepherd and follow his lead, and when you follow the shepherd and follow his lead, he'll lead you to where you need to go and to what you need to do. But for us to follow God's lead, we have to know him. Did you notice Jesus said, my sheep know me? My sheep know my voice? We should know Jesus that well. We should know him because he's in us, but also we are called to be in him. We have to make him our personal shepherd so that we can follow him, so that we know his voice. In our rooted study, we just covered about hearing from God. There's a book that I read called Hearing from God, and it was really good, talking about learning what his voice sounds like and being able to discern his voice from our voice and from everyone else's voice. We have to know what his presence is like. We have to know what his presence is like to our senses, to know that when he is speaking to us or with us or leading us. You've heard me say before, we get holy bumps. Not cold chills, holy bumps. There's times where there's been moments where I know that I'm fulfilling what God has for me to do Because in that moment, I might be hot as all get out, but I still have the holy chills all over my body. And I think it's because I'm in the presence of God. We also have to recognize his power. Understand what his power is like in our life and understand that power that we have access to as we live in this world. So the first three verses of Psalm 23, David's really established that God is our good shepherd. So he's not living in want because his shepherd has provided him with green pastures to lie down in and to eat from. And he's provided him with still waters. And he leads him down the paths of righteousness. He's not going to lead him astray. And he's not going to lead us astray either. But I think if David told us what he wanted us to take away from these first three verses, it would be simple. Follow the good shepherd. Follow the good shepherd. While we was on our beach trip, we used our GPS a lot. And Siri led me astray a few times. And I knew she was, yet I followed her anyway. That's what happens when you listen to a woman. I didn't say that. But with the GPS, Siri would lead us, you know, to wherever we needed to go. So we were in Wilmington the first couple of days. We went down to Merle's Inlet actually for a dolphin ride where we saw no dolphins, and then we actually saw dolphins from our hotel, so we didn't even need to go on a ride. Went down to the dolphin ride, came back up to North Myrtle Beach, and of course Myrtle Beach, you know, you're everywhere, and so. We went down to Carolina Beach, Fort Fisher, Southport. We went a little bit of everywhere there in that area on the coast. And the GPS led us about everywhere. But I really think what David's getting to here is that God, as our shepherd, he's almost like our GPS for life. And not that we tell God, this is what I want, now lead me there. Because that's what I do in my GPS. I type in my destination, and the GPS leads me there. He's our GPS for life, but he already knows where we need to go, even when we don't. You don't set your destination. You just follow the directions. God knows what we need. So he knows what we need to eat. He knows what we need for water. He knows where we need to go. He knows what we need to do in our life. And you've got to simply follow the directions. And even though Siri led me astray a few times, God will never lead you down the wrong path. He always leads you down the right path. And so all you have to do is follow him. We can make the gospel, we can make Christianity so complicated. But when it comes down to it, it comes back to that word, follow. Follow the good shepherd. Follow Jesus. Don't follow a pastor. Don't follow a politician. Don't follow yourself. Don't follow your spouse. Follow Jesus. And let him lead you to where he wants you to go for his purpose in your life. So as the worship team comes up and we get ready to sing one last song, I want you to think about back over your life how God has done this for you. You've heard my stories of times in my life where I didn't know what was next. In our church, I didn't know what was next. In my personal life, I didn't know what was next. I didn't know where to go. But I knew who to follow. Sometimes I don't think God reveals to us where we're going because he wants us to simply trust him as we follow. And one of the reasons why we have the Word of God as we do, you can look through the pages of the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can look at King David's life himself. And you can read time and time again that when those people simply followed God, they were living in his purpose in this world for them. And ultimately, even though all the apostles were killed for their faith, they still were living in the goodness of God in their life. They fulfilled his purpose. They built his kingdom for his glory. And he wants to do the same thing through you. But you simply have to follow him. So go ahead and stand to your feet. Kind of two responses here. The first response would be from, I think, the majority of our church here today, thinking back over your life and just thinking about how God has done good for you in your life and how God has led you down the right paths time and time again. And just remembering that you can trust him, that you simply can follow him. But the second response is, I wonder if there's someone here today that needs to say, I want to follow God. I want to make God my good shepherd. I want to follow him as my shepherd. I want what he provides. I want him to lead me down the path of righteousness, what his name says. And so if that's you, if you want to make that commitment today, I want you to speak to me, Pastor Elizabeth, any of us after service as we celebrate.